Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. We are in the middle of our week going through a little bit of John chapter 14. And as we've discussed over the last few days, and you can go back and listen, this is the beginning of the Last Supper discourse, of Jesus's last time really speaking to his disciples, pouring into them, loving them, his last chunk of time before his arrest and then before his death on the cross and then his resurrection. And so what we see with Jesus is he's preparing them through his teaching for his death and then also his ascension into heaven. As we talked about yesterday, Jesus promises that he will prepare a place for us. It's not just a promise for his disciples. It's not just a promise for those who are perfect, but Jesus Christ today, friends, and tomorrow, every single day before he returns to get you, before he returns to judge the living and the dead, is making intercession on your behalf to the Father. So Jesus, in his ascension, he brings the human nature up to earth. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and then he intercedes for us as our great high priest so that we can come to the place that he's prepared for us. It's so beautiful. And we read yesterday in Psalm 18, and we see that one of the ways that he's preparing that place for us, that he intercedes for us, is he fights on our behalf. He fights our enemy. He gives us power against the enemy, and he defeats our enemy for us. That vindication comes from God, and it's so beautiful and so encouraging. And I've just been so encouraged as we've been walking through this passage together. And so we have a lot of meat to still get through in this handful of verses. And so we're going to begin again by reading the next psalm in our arsenal, Psalm 19. And this might be a very familiar psalm to all of you. We're not going to read it all because it's very long. You can read this in different chunks. I encourage you, if you want to sit down and read it all, that's amazing. But just for time purposes, we're just going to read a few verses here. And this, I want to encourage you, this psalm really reads like a song. And this is a psalm that we can take and we can declare the glory of the Lord when we're not feeling it. So in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched his tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making the simple wise. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. And the decrees of the Lord are firm, all of them righteous. Lord Jesus, the heavens truly declare your glory. Everything you've created worships you, gives you honor and glory and praise. And today on this day, no matter where we're at, we worship you with that same spirit. We glorify you as your creatures. You are holy and worthy above all. And Lord, we just ask you, show us the path of righteousness. For your law is perfect. It perfects our souls. Let it radiate out of us. Let us delight in your law. Let it be the delight of our hearts to do what is right and what is just in your eyes. We ask this all in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I love that so much. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. How often do we actually experience that? And I think it's a beautiful prayer to say, Lord, let the precepts of your heart, let your precepts give joy to my heart. That actually, that meditation, do the commands of the Lord. This is how we know we're growing in holiness. That actually a renovation of our heart begins to happen. That we're not just changing our outside behavior, but on the inside. on the inside of our hearts, we're actually taking delight. We're actually taking delight in the law of the Lord, that it fills us, that it forms us. It's so beautiful. It's a beautiful prayer for spiritual maturity. And so let's dive back in. We want to pick up where we left off in John 14. John 14, 1, let not your hearts be troubled. Again, we're just going to read this again. Believe in God, also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. And you know the way that I am going. Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Henceforth, you know him and have seen him. I love this question from Thomas because it's so relatable. Like, I think sometimes we see Thomas and we're like, how are you doubting? How do you not know? You've been with Jesus all this time. But I think of so often in my life, I go into prayer and I'm like, Lord, I don't know the way. Where am I going? Where do I go? And I love to see apostles. They're like, we've been in relationship with Jesus, but Jesus, how do we know where to go? How do we know where to go? How can we know the way? It's like, Lord, how do we know what step to take? How do we know our path? Have you ever asked that in your life? How do I know where I'm going? What is the path for my life? And Jesus has the most profound response. And this is something that echoes in the teachings of the church that we have to take to the bank, that we have to be fully convinced of. Jesus says this to Thomas's question, how do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Thomas is saying, Jesus, how will we know where to go? How do we know the way? And Jesus is saying, it's not this path that you will find. You're not going to get directions. You're not going to get a step-by-step guide because I am the way. This is the new revelation that Jesus brings. He says, unlike in the Old Testament, you followed this path. You followed these particular laws. You followed the 613 laws. You saw the pathway forward. He's saying, no, it's not a particular quote unquote way. Now I am the way. The person of Jesus becomes the way. And I think we can get so caught up, and here the disciples are caught up, and how will we know where to go? What about the practical steps that we will take? We need instructions, Lord. We need you to tell us, where are you going to be? Tell us the coordinates. Tell us the latitude and the longitude. Show us the GPS. And he's saying, no, a person, it's me. How will you know where to go? Look at me. I am both the goal and the path to get there. I am the one you are running to. The goal is to be with me forever in heaven. The goal is to be united to me, but in my mercy, I am also the way. How will we know where to go? Look to him. I love Paul says that. Look to him, the author and perfecter of your faith. Look to Jesus. He is the way to the Father. He is the way to the Father. He is the path to the Father. And friends, Jesus says the way. We need to be utterly convinced of this for ourselves and for others. When he says, I am the way, he's saying there is no other way. There's no other path. There's no other religion. There's no other way to reach him. This is not a maze in which you can start from all different directions and you can end up to the Father by getting through in all different ways. No, salvation comes from Jesus alone. Through the Catholic Church, this is the teaching of the church. There is only one pathway to the Father, and it is the person of Jesus. That's why he sent his Son. Because he's saying, I want you to be able to get back to me. I want you to be able to come to the place that Jesus is preparing. That place is for each and every person on the face of the earth, but you can't get there. It's like, imagine like a beautiful cabin. Imagine a beautiful mansion in the woods. There's not all of these paths to get there. It's not like you split up as a family and you take all of these different roads. And then it's like, oh, you're here. How did you get here? There's one road. And this is something that the world is watering down so much that even the church is weak on in particular places. And people are saying, well, I have my truth and I have your truth. I have my God. This is my understanding of God. This is your understanding of God. There is no understanding of God outside of the person of Jesus Christ. There is no way to get to him. It's the most inclusive and exclusive thing at the same time. Anyone can come to Jesus. Anyone can come on the path, but there is only one path. And his name is Jesus. How will I know where to go? It reminds me, my great-grandmother, my mom's grandma, she's an amazing Jewish woman. She was on her deathbed. She was dying at 103. And she spent her whole life not knowing who Jesus was. And on her deathbed, she asked my mother, Debbie, how will I know where to go when I get there? She was talking about when she died. How would she know where to go when she entered into the next life? How will I know where to go when I get there? Jesus. There won't be directions turn right or turn left. Oftentimes for us in our lives, there's not directions turn right or turn left. There's Jesus. Fix your eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith. St. Cyril says this. He says he bids them, the disciples, to cast away the cowardice of their hearts and fix their faith firmly in him. He is the way. St. Augustine says this. He says, Christ said not, I am the way and the life, but I am the way and the truth and the life. If he had said only I am the way, then someone might say, where to? So he adds the truth and the life. The Son leads us to the Father. He is the way. He is also the truth. All truth is found in him. The truth isn't a set necessarily of facts. It's a person. Everything true is bound up in him. Everything that we're looking for is bound up in him. And he is the life. That there is no life apart from the person of Jesus. I love this. St. Thomas Aquinas said this on his commentary on the Gospel of John. He is the way by which we go, the truth to which we go, and the life in which we abide. We see him, we follow him as the way. We stake our whole life in him as the truth, and we live in him as our source of life. That we can't get to the Father if he is not the way. We can't know the Father if he is not the truth, and we can't live forever if he is not the life. He's saying, in me, you find the path. In me, you find the truth. And in me, you can live forever supernaturally. Hook your wagon to me. Put all your eggs in one basket. In so many ways, Christianity is an invitation to put all of our eggs in the basket of Jesus Christ. Friends, do it again today, even if you did it yesterday, even if you've been baptized, even if you think you're the best Catholic on the planet, doing your rosary, checking your boxes. Every day again, we have to wake up and come to Jesus in the morning, at night, every day. We have to go to him and hook our wagons to him, hitch our wagons to him, give him all of our eggs, put all of our eggs in the basket of Jesus Christ and say, everything I have depends on you. I want to do everything in dependence of you. You are the way, the truth, and the life. I cannot get anywhere without you. This profound spiritual reality, Thomas asking, how do we know where to go? Look at him. But it can't be that simple. Yes, it can. Look at him, friends, even in your life, even not into eternity, even just in your life, there is nowhere he is asking you to go that he does not go first. How do we know where to go? Look to him. Join us again tomorrow as we continue in John 14. God bless you.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burak's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.